Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat .22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet. And I can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
The law of country.
American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, November 1, 2005. 11 months of 5 days a week on Newsreel Broadcasting, marked by today. At the sound of the tome, I will have no life. Ba-bing! This would be Newsreel. The WOG Global Sit Rep for Core Political Tyranny Technology and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening to this broadcast, you are as well. And you can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And you can get to my live journal currently. Still, we haven't really figured out how to get everything transferred over yet, but we are running RC5 times 3 SeanKennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Network, KJAG Radio, Osprey Radio.info, Extreme Radio Tampa, and SRN1. And you yourself are free to distribute this broadcast any way that you see fit. You can do whatever you like with it. I hope that you had a good Halloween. My Halloween was pretty good. Devil's Night sucked a lot for me. I had my washing machine decide to try to attack me. You know, sometimes we have to realize that there is some technology that may try to kill us and rebel against us, which reminds me, before I get into some feedback, I'd like to talk a little bit about some concepts. You know, sometimes as you're going around in the world today, you find yourself getting a little bit lost. You know what I mean? You don't really find a way to focus in on yourself. You don't know what's happening. You feel like, holy shit, what's the point of it all? Everything's just going absolutely crazy out there. And, you know, with all the war and everything that's happening, it gets kind of depressing. It does get kind of depressing. People aren't too sure what to do. So the number one thing you should be doing, aside from the fact, you know, of like eating right and exercising, all that good stuff to maintain the meat space, to improve yourself, you should be learning about technology on some level, even if it's learning about computers, learning about networking, learning about robotics, which is, of course, the great future. But, you know, I mean, that's one thing you should try to focus on. If you're going to read books and you want to get excited about learning robotics, read some science fiction. It does stimulate the mind to go in that direction. So just a bit of a footnote there. Don't let life get you too far down. Make sure that you try to remember that, hey, we're living in an exciting time. There's a lot of crazy shit going on. And we're making weapons today better than any weapons in the time of history. It's only a matter of time before we're hoping that aliens invade and we'll be able to have a unifying force that the entire planet can fight against. Dear Sean, holy crap, dude. Friday, sort yourself out. The moment you started reading it, I had visions of Wile E. Coyote with a tiny cocktail umbrella to be crushed by a boulder. And for those of you not old enough to know who Wile E. Coyote is, I'm truly sorry. I shudder to think of how much mail you're going to get over that, both from downcriers and fanboys who want to know what you're really up to. The only bit that bugs me about the counterculture people creating organizations is that they seem to want to go from nothing to uber-secret groups whose battle cry is specifically to fuck with the existing establishment, which is very true. I won't go after the basic idea. As resistance brings change, there are far more you can do as a group than you can do as an individual. However, secretive groups like this attract attention of the authorities and suspicion and distrust of the public. These are also groups of people coming together under one touted ideal who probably have no previous experience working together. The last bit is why I think these groups tend to only last for a matter of weeks or months. Now, I think the whole walk thing is just beautiful. Your own adaptable definition of what it can be tailored to fit anyone. The prime ideals are encouraging and free minds, free speech, personal growth, and generally doing what's best in the world. There are some fans, dare I say, other WOGs, who actually seem to follow this up. But the vocal and active ones who want to start organizations eventually start talking about what amounts to survivalist militias, which is very true. It's very true, and if you check what he was asking me, I was giving him a response to my, you know, the WOG thing is not an organized movement. This is just if he was going to run an organization and actually make it be effective, that was what I was suggesting out there. It is only the aggressive ones who want to take action. Well, that's kind of misleading. You don't really know. What do you mean by aggressive? People who want to make a difference? I mean, what is aggressive? And so are limited by the aggression to what they can conceive doing. Or is it the groups of people dislike coming together for vague or indistinct reasons and so try the enforcement on their own and thus lose the original free-minded ideals? Perhaps both. We do hear some stories of individual WOGs going out touting RR and free media. How come we don't hear about groups of WOGs getting together and doing something more material, like helping out at schools, community events, charities? I don't know. There's a ton of stuff that could be done, big and small. From a cynical point of view, this would, at very least, improve the public image of the WOG counterculture movement. Which is interesting that the WOG is now, like, going WOG slash counterculture. In my opinion, we need some sort of protocols, so like on the net, some set of rules that every individual WOG would know, but allow them to work in a team with other WOGs efficiently as required. Perhaps something from a military instructions could be modified, although those aren't intended to work with dynamic groups. Now, see, that's just it. When you start trying to nail stuff down and create limitations, you create resistance because people will resist that. So you have to stay fast and loose with the WOG thing. That's why it survived as long as it has. I'm not saying there isn't a place for deep black secure organizations, which there is, but in order for them to exist, no one must acknowledge they exist. But I'm just noting, we all seem to have neatly skipped the well-thought face organization. No good PR, only suspicion by outsiders. Well, the well-thought organization, when you're trying to work with counterculture, unless you have, a great deal of time and a lot more resources than what I have, it's very, very difficult to run. And I mean very. Believe you me, I gave it the good college try. Damn near killed me. So, you know, if you think you can pull it off, you go ahead. He goes on to say here, it worries me. Not just because of negative PR, as I'm sure it must be building the world security organizations, but also the, hey, we have a secret organization, isn't it cool? Or, hey, we're a big group of guys with guns, like our own army, isn't it cool? Mindset. Well, yeah, we want to avoid that. What we're talking about here is the concept of remaining hidden, so if you're going to do anything, nothing, like, it's kind of a Men in Black kind of a thing. That would be the closest kind of organization that I could possibly talk about. In short, it worries me when people start setting these things up in the first place and when we think of what went wrong at Waco, which is why you have to stay mobile, you can't set up, you can't start arming yourself, you have to remain as individual operatives scattered with no knowledge of each other. That was the whole idea. It was just a concept. Bear in mind over here, I'm a writer. So I make shit up. That's what I do. And, you know, if maybe I'm full of it. I mean, there's lots of people out there, I'm sure, went to West Point and all the rest of it, look at what I'm, my whole concept of leadership and organization, all the rest of it, just call me a complete dodo head. So, you know, we'll have to see how it goes, but that was just my point. So that's a good piece of feedback there. Dear Sean, another piece of feedback. Dear Sean, whilst this is a more lighthearted side of things, what with all the ID card evilness happening in the UK, by the way, you and Sumerian inspired me to write my MP about ID cards and why they are a bad thing. Good for you. Especially with the unreliable biometrics data going on with them. My friend and now my flatmate Alex got me interested in Rant Radio, mostly through patrolling. I am now distributing through the entire public toilets and around the Plymouth area, which I'm here to tell you, it's a pretty good place for a lot of my work is in public toilets. If people remember the URL, then that's got to help out a bit. Hell, when I have a wage slave job, I can put out CDs in them even. Awesome. So, trying to adapt to a WOG lifestyle, but yeah, it's a hard one. It is difficult. Keep up, Newsreel. People, including MPs, go hack into the core political totally and fucking root. These people are there to serve you. Don't forget. At least that's what we believe in the UK. Ah, hell. I think I forgot to close my bracket, which he did in his email here. Oops. But you and Sumerian rock so hard. If I had enough bandwidth, I'd gladly donate some to you guys, especially with when local Wi-Fi comes out. Zomj, which I'm probably screwing this up. I tried hacking into that. Sort of culture through the system we have in Europe's so-called GPRS. I know this is a little scattered. Bear with me, okay? I'm not sure if it's so widespread in the USA and Canada, but it's the main method of sending instant messages via a text system. So I guess ZOMG may be something like that. I'm sorry, dude. I don't really understand what you're getting at here. I mean, sure, the phone networks are loving this. We are, in any admittance, their slaves. We rely on their services to provide a communications channel. But with the advent of Bluetooth hacking, surely this could be used to an advantage for society, free messaging for anyone. I mean, hell, it's only data at the end of the day. If you control the data flow, then you can, to a degree, control society, which is absolutely true. He who controls the media controls the people. To a degree determined by the widespreadness of such technology, admittedly, which is why I personally have a great problem with GPS. Admittedly, it's a useful technology, but like so many possibilities, one of them being gaming, you can imagine real-life Pac-Man. Oh, yeah, it's already been done, never mind. And location-based Half-Life. Whoa! All you need is the ability to determine positions via database, determine corporations, or alternatively create a common database, kind of like Creative Commons Act. You see what I mean? Everyone is free to go over your digital lands, etc. Personally, I feel that both the network and Creative Commons are being breached with the Patriot Act and under such laws. Whilst I can accept certain 0.01% chance of risks and security worldwide, security is advanced enough level now. I mean, hell, I live about 2 miles away from a nuclear sub. That's more than enough to scare me. Forwarding the virus in a banner, Talk Raichan, which is this guy's handle here, DVD, CD, and banner forum, although it's not on Rant Radio yet, meh, they rock. Anyways, in particular, you rocks, as well as so as Sumerian, who helps keep the MP3s of Newswheel updated for us European listeners. And Sumerian actually is my partner in all of this, so yeah, he's, even though I'm the front man here, trust me, there would be absolutely nothing if it was not for Sim. So don't ever think for a second that, you know, it's all me over here. All I do is create a show, and Sim does everything else. So realistically, I am Sean Kennedy. Sumerian is Rant Radio. Don't ever forget that. That guy is entirely why free media is what it is today. I mean, it's always that way, though. It's always the front man. You know, the front man is always the guy. He gets all the fucking credit. It's like a monitor, you know? Something goes wrong, what do? You smack the monitor. It's not the monitor, buddy. It's the computer. The monitor's just a fucking messenger over there. That's why when I get arrested, you betcha, it's all Sumerian. Yeah, I like that big blade there. Anyway, dear Sean, I'm sure it's been proposed before, and maybe it isn't nearly as dumb as... Maybe Bush is not as nearly dumb as he sounds. Well, I mean, this is an idea. I mean, this grants him for being much more evil than he sounds, and taken into consideration, think about it. A moron cannot act smart, but a genius has no trouble acting dumb. So perhaps, for all of Bush's outward display of morose behavior, perhaps he's not as dumb as he is just really, really fucked up. Well, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of examples of him saying really dumb shit when he shouldn't have said dumb shit. So, I don't know. Maybe he's just... Yeah, I mean, but you got to think, if you're the leader of the free world and you had a lot of cameras on you, probably trip over your words a little bit. You know, I don't know. I don't know the man. Can't really comment. Dear Sean, I was deliberating recently the whole 9/11 terrorist attack, or as I call it, the burning of the American Reichstag. Well, if one thinks about it for a bit and reflects on history, this is a reoccurring theme used by tyrannical madmen. Nero burning Rome and blamed it on the Christians, Hitler burning the Reichstag and blamed it on the Jews, and Bush presumably masterminding the 9/11 and blamed it on who? The Muslims. Couple that with the history of the American involvement in the Middle East and the gaps in the 9/11 report and bias in its proceedings, not to mention the video evidence or lack thereof in the Pentagon, will a sane man could not have to go too far to call this a textbook power play. Yours truly, Doobie X. And I would unfortunately have to agree with you, Derby X. Durabix. No, I'd have to agree with Doobie X there because, you know, when you... The thing about 9/11 is that it's so horrible, it's so unbelievably just, you know, nasty, that would America survive? You know, you got to ask yourself this. Would America survive as we know it if it was revealed that it was, in fact, orchestrated by our own government? What would the impact be? I ask you, you know what I mean? Like, what would the impact be if it all came out that, you know, all Alex Jones was right and all those guys were correct? What do you suppose the impact would be from that? I'll tell you what the impact would be. It would be absolutely fucking hideous. That's what the impact would be. It would be absolutely horrible. And, you know, oh my God. I mean, I seriously, some of the higher-ups, maybe it'll come out. They're already starting to investigate it. But definitely a very scary concept. Let's get into the news, shall we? In Halloween news, it's kind of a grim story, but I got to have at least have one Halloween story. You know, Halloween was yesterday, so we got to, you know, got to have a Halloween story. And this is kind of a brutal one, man. This is a fucking hardcore story. In Halloween news, an apparent suicide of a woman found hanging in a tree went unreported for hours because passersby thought the body was a Halloween decoration. Authorities said the 42-year-old woman used rope to hang herself across the street from some homes on a moderately busy road late Tuesday, early Wednesday. The state police said the body, suspended about 15 feet above the ground, could be seen easily from passing vehicles. State spokesman Corporal Jeff Oldman and neighbors said people noticed the body at breakfast time Wednesday but dismissed it as a holiday prank. Authorities were called to the scene more than 3 hours later. They thought it was a Halloween decoration, Flay Glanton, wife of Mayor William Glanton, told the Wilmington News Journal. It looked like somebody would have rigged up. Well, somebody did rig it up. You betcha. 42-year-old chick stretched herself, and that's what she rigged up. Now, you got to think, though, what a killer way. Like, you know, now, granted, I'm not a big fan of suicide. I've never really agreed with suicide. I don't think it's all that fantastic. There's always other options, you know? But everybody likes to think of creative ways to kill themselves and stuff like that. Personally, the whole concept of hanging yourself as a Halloween decoration, if I was going to do something, I'd probably do it at a dance or something so that people, you know, would be dancing all night and then they realize that, holy crap, you know, it's really dead. I mean, there's something about that story just cracks me up. I don't know why. I know. Morbid sense of humor. And for God's sakes, I'm not encouraging anyone to kill themselves, but I'm just saying that's kind of a funny story. On to some insurance news. Now, this was sent to me by Thunderspode. A little bit, we know about how in the UK they're starting to talk about, you know, tracking everyone with their little GPS transmitters in the trunk of their car, as they call it, the boot. But anyway, listen to this. In insurance news, car insurance is set for a major shakeup as with pay-as-you-drive policies based on high-tech spy in the boot, i.e. trunk. The black box device will log details of all journeys, meaning lower bills for those who drive less often in daylight, or less often or in daylight, but civil liberties groups will be concerned about Big Brother's aspects of the system being launched in Norwich Union. Yeah, the Big Brother's aspects, like we're tracking everywhere you go. I don't know how much more Big Brother you could possibly get. Insurers will know exactly where a client has been, and there will be fears that information could be sold to other companies. Information on the black boxes will also make it possible to calculate a driver's speed. The firm says this will not be done unless a driver asks for it, after an accident, for example, but admits that police could also request the details. Pay-as-you-drive policies, in which drivers are asked to pay itemized monthly bills instead of annual premium, are already popular in the United States. Interesting. Norwich Union has been offering them to young drivers since earlier this year, as well as running a trial with another 5,000 motorists. Now, the company, which insures 1 in 7 Britons, 24 million drivers, is opening the scheme to all groups. The black boxes are in constant contact with global positioning satellites to log every detail of a journey, its time, its planks, and its length. Holy surveillance nation. The details are transmitted to the insurance company using a mobile phone technology. Drivers are sent an itemized monthly statement similar to a phone bill. Reasons to hang on to an older car for 1000.com Alex. Those who use their cars less often could end up paying considerably less with their existing premiums. This would be good news for mothers who limit their motoring to the school run or a weekly trip to the supermarket and any other, you know, slave-based taskings. Because, you know, if you're a young mother and you're doing good to produce more lab rats for our culture, you're going to get a big price break. Doesn't it feel good to be in the future? Holy crap. Well, if that piece of surveillance didn't get you all wigged out, how about some surveillance news I got for you here? Now, here is some trippy, trippy stuff. Okay, this... Now, it's kind of a short story here. And, you know, when you compare this with things like Tempest and all these kind of concepts they got for doing computer surveillance as well, they can, you know, listen to computer keys being tapped on a keyboard and be able to determine what you're being said. But listen to this. We got wall-beating bugging going on. With a half a century's experience of listening to feeble radio signals from space, NASA is helping the U.S. security services squeeze super weak bugging data from earthbound buildings. Interesting. It is easy to defeat an ordinary audio eavesdropping just by soundproofing a room. and simply drawing the curtains can defeat a newer systems, which shine a laser beam onto the glass and decode any modulation in the reflected beam can cause by sound vibrations in the room. Now, I don't know if actually drawing curtains over that will really do that, unless they're really thick curtains, but it's an interesting concept, and that's not really that new. So the new through-the-wall audio surveillance system uses a powerful beam of very high-frequency radio waves instead of light. Radio can penetrate the walls, even if they didn't, portable radios wouldn't work inside of a house. Or if they didn't penetrate the walls, the portable radios wouldn't work inside. The system uses a horn antenna to radiate a beam of microwave energy between 30 and 100 gigahertz through the building wall. If people are speaking inside the room, any flimsy surface, such as clothing, will be vibrating. This modulates the radio beam reflected from the surface. I see. Although the radio reflection that passes back through the wall is extremely faint, the kind of electronic extraction and signal cleaning tricks used by NASA to decode signals in space can be used to extract speech. Now, there is a patent filed on this. Very interesting stuff. Now, this begs two questions. First of all, I guess, they're getting faint signals from Mars, right? So I suppose that's what they're saying, that, oh, yeah, we're finding all this stuff from space. So they got this stuff on Mars and sending stuff back. Of course, by the time it gets here, that's some pretty weak-ass signal going on there. But I guess what they're doing is, if they can clean that shit up, well, you know. Once they got it all cleaned up, you're basically good to go, and they can do whatever they like with the audio data, so you're no longer safe there. This is probably, this, of course, would probably be totally defeated if you were playing music in the room. That would completely throw this for a fuck. And, if you're talking at loud music and people talking quietly over loud music, that would probably work a little bit better, don't you think? Now, in surveillance news again... Oh, no, I'm sorry. We went back and was going over the same story. But we do have an interesting story about piracy. Now, this particular story here is kind of frightening for a number of reasons. Let's get through and I'll talk about it here. Angered. In piracy news, angered by subsidies to U.S. cotton growers. But oh, Jesus Christ, can't believe I couldn't figure. Angered by subsidies to U.S. cotton growers. What the hell? My brain's turning to goo. Brazilian lawmakers said Thursday that they were considering suspending intellectual property rights of American products in their country if the U.S. government did not explain how it intended to change the subsidy programs by July 1. The deadline was set earlier this year by the World Trade Organization, which found that U.S. assistance to cotton farmers distorted world prices by encouraging overproduction. If implemented, Brazil's plan would negatively affect a range of U.S. industries, including entertainment, software, and pharmaceutical. Wow. So it's like, we're not going to respect your patents anymore after July 1. Essentially, the Brazilian population would be, position would be, we're going to have state sanctioned piracy, says Neil Turkowitz, an executive vice president of the Recording Industry Association of America. State sanctioned piracy. Now, interesting here that Neil, who's the vice VP of Recording Industry Association of America, the music industry's largest trade and lobbying group. Now, that's great. You're a private corporation. What the fuck are you doing making policy, dude? You're a corporation. You don't have a right to say anything about what Brazil does. Shut the fuck up. Although it's not unusual for nations to slap high tariffs on the market basket for goods as retaliation in trade disputes, sanctioning the copying of one country's products is unconventional and possibly illegal, trade officials said. At minimum, the move would require a new law in Brazil and the WTO approval, they said. Now, what if Brazil just says, fuck you, we're doing what we want? The plan was a topic of legislative committee meeting in Brasilia, the nation's capital, Thursday. Richard Mills, a spokesman for U.S. Trade Representative Rob Portman, said, called talk of Brazilian action premature. So they're saying, oh, no, nothing's going to come of this. Don't worry, everything's going to be very, very cool. We intend to comply, so there will not be any need for retaliation, said U.S. cotton farmers receiving $1.6 billion in federal subsidies last year, with California growers getting $144 million, according to Environmental Working Group, a Washington-based nonprofit that tracks the data. Brazil's proposed strategy is designed to draw Hollywood, Silicon Valley, and the pharmaceutical industry into the trade battle, said Pedro de Camargo Neto, head of a large farm organization and former trade official who oversaw the nation's successful challenge of a U.S. cotton payments. We want other parties in the United States to understand that what the cotton lobby is doing is not in their interest, Camargo said Thursday. I see. So it's pretty powerful Shadowrun war kind of stuff going on here. Rather than enlisting allies, the strategy could have the opposite effect. Any Brazilian move against U.S. copyrights or patent probably would draw retaliation from the U.S. government on key Brazilian exports, says Dan Glickman, chief executive of the Motion Picture Association of America and agriculture secretary during the Clinton administration. So, he was an agriculture secretary during the Clinton administration. Now he's the chief executive of Motion Picture Association of America, Dan Glickman. So, that's nice, but you're still part of the Motion Picture Association. And he's sitting here saying, you would probably draw retaliation from the U.S. government on key Brazilian exports. You don't know that. You don't know that, guy. How can you be sitting there talking? I mean, this is really powerful stuff that this guy's saying. They sell a lot of airplanes in the United States, Glickman said, in referring to commuter aircraft, the Embracer. This could be a pretty serious tit-for-tat trade dispute. Well, you know, it's a pretty interesting trade dispute because, actually, all they're saying is, no, you know what? We're just going to build stuff that you guys thought up. And we can't really afford to be paying the big prices for these medicines and drugs that are invented. So, you know what? Screw you guys. Ethics are way out the window anyway. So, you know. To see the Motion Picture Association, the MPAA, talking shit against a country. A country. Holy crap. You know, Glickman, you got some balls, man. You have got balls that clank. I'm here to tell you. You know, holy shit. You don't realize that what you're doing here? I mean, come on now. You're not even involved in this yet. It's all talking out. Now the MPAA is saber-rattling against a country. Un-fucking-believable. I mean, there's no end to the gall of these guys. Seriously. Now, in the Shadowrun War news, now, I don't often report on video games. You know, I really don't often report on the video games. The virtual reality worlds, sometimes I've yet to see VR worlds really affect reality. What goes on in Warcraft doesn't really affect reality out here. Now, mind you, there's people who would say, oh, no, there's people making big money. Huge cash on these things, you know. But with the making of money, you know, if that's not affecting reality, I don't know what is. But this particular game, I got this sent to me here, and I don't know much about it. Maybe somebody could send me some information on this. But in virtual reality news, I want to talk a little bit about Kumo War. Now, this is from their website, okay? Combining headline news with expert insight and advanced gaming tools to place you in today's battlefields. Kumo War is a free online war game that uses cutting-edge game technology to accurately reconstruct real war events from the news. Kumo War is a first and third-person squad-based war game. It is the first PC video game to bring the tactical first-person shooter into the 21st century by modeling missions on actual real-world events. Each month, players get new single-player and multiplayer games missions to reflect unfolding events around the world. Armed with identical weapons and realistic recreation of various locations, you'll experience some of the fiercest engagements and the most hostile territories in the world. A vast database of intelligence accompanies Kumo War online games, satellite photos, political context, every detail of weaponry, tactics, and forces are involved. You also get exclusive video news, shows, and insights from a decorated team of military veterans. Now, it goes on there, and you can go there, and you can download it. It's all for free. Now, my question is, how are they making money? Because there must be some sort of subscription thing that goes on here, but they seem to be touting all over the website that there's no subscriptions, it's all very cool, there's no problems, yada yada. So I don't know. I don't really know what the deal is, you know, how they're making cash here. But somehow, there's something about this, making video games, you know, updated real time from wars, and people are dying and shit, you know, and people are making games out of it. Maybe I'm being old school here, but something seems funny about that to me, you know what I mean? It just doesn't seem very cool. Maybe there's a certain training tactical value from it. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I'm just being sensitive. Maybe I'm overly sensitive about this. Let me know what you think about this. I'd like to know what all the wogs out there got on their mind. You can get me at newsreel@randradio.com. Now, this is a really disturbing story here about slavery and slavery news. Okay, now slavery is a big problem, and it's a problem right here in North America and in the United States. So, let's see. In slavery news, Florencia Molina's personal hellhole was a dressmaking shop in the outskirts of Los Angeles. She worked there up to 17 hours a day, 7 days a week, and lived there too, without the option of showering or washing her clothes. Other victims of American-style human trafficking have had a very different venues for ordeals, just as bad or worse. Brothels in San Francisco, bars in New Jersey, slave labor farm camps in Florida, a small town tree-cutting business owned by a New Hampshire couple. Trafficking is a stubborn problem and a staggering one worldwide, affecting an estimated 600,000 to 800,000 victims a year. Federal officials say 14,500 to 17,500 of them are trafficked into the United States, where the myriad forms of modern-day slavery presents an elusive target for those trying to eradicate it. So we've got slavery. Victims have come from at least 50 countries in almost every part of the world and are trafficked into virtually every state. To clandestine factories, restaurants, farms, massage parlors, even private homes where women and girls are kept in servitude. Unfucking real. Human trafficking is so hidden, you don't know who you're fighting. The victims are so scared, they're not going to tell you what's happening to them, said Given Kachepa, himself a former victim of a scam which exported Zambian orphans touring the United States in a boys' choir. So they bring them across in a boys' choir and then they sell them off. Aligned against the traffickers are an array of federal, state, and local government agencies teamed up with an odd coalition of private groups that include Christian conservatives and left-of-center immigration rights advocates. Left-of-center. The result is perhaps the most far-reaching anti-trafficking campaign of any nation, yet some victim support groups are questioning its effectiveness. Well, what we need to do, first of all, well, you know, of course, what's Sean's solution? Kill the people who are running it. Okay, slavery is worse than murder to me, but anyway. They contend that federal criteria offering assistance to victims only if they help prosecute their traffickers deters some from seeking help. Others say the government has placed too much emphasis on sex trafficking and too little on workplace abuses at sweatshops, farms, and elsewhere. We see sex cases being prioritized by federal prosecutors, but other cases we're having a hard time getting looked at, said Elisa Steglich, an attorney for the Chicago-based Midwest Immigration and Human Rights Center. Whatever type of slavery you're dealing with, the horrors are all the same. Now, as I said before, for me, when I look at this kind of thing, slavery to me is far worse than murder. A lot of people would say, whoa, Sean, that's pretty... No, man, no. Which would you rather be? Dead or living a life, getting raped 24 hours a day? You know, honestly, I believe that slavery is worse. Now, these snakeheads that are bringing in, you know, people and selling them off, you know, it's not cool, man. I mean, it's slavery. Now, we're not talking about, you know, the whole S&M thing going on here. You know, there's some shit going on with that. That's kind of strange. I don't really understand that too much. But we're talking, like, actual, hardcore, do this or we beat you and kill you slavery going on here. Okay? And, you know, maybe there's something we're not doing here. Maybe those of us out there on the street level, the wogs out there on the street, you know, you can hear because you get the word on the street, right? You know if there's a slavery, you know, some kind of a slave trade going on. You know if there's a sweatshop factory somewhere. And maybe we should be, making sure the right people find out about that sweatshop. Making sure we find out what's going on in there. But you want to be careful with these guys because they're fucking dangerous, okay? They will kill you. And there's no two ways about that. But it'd be interesting if we could somehow fight against this kind of slavery. Because to me, it's fucking sick. And, the sex end of it, yeah, that's sick and deranged. But it's just as sick and deranged to be chaining people to desks making dresses. I mean, that's just deranged to me. Now, back into the virtual realm, we got some black ice news. Apparently, a worm has been found spreading via America's online instant messaging, America Online's instant messenger, AIM, and is carrying a nastier punch than usual, a security company has warned. The unnamed worm delivers a cocktail of unwanted software, including so-called rootkit. Security experts at FaceTime Communications said Friday, a rootkit is a tool designed to go undetected by the security software used to lock down control for a computer after an initial hack. A very nasty bundle is downloaded to your machine when you click on the worm link, said Tyler Wells, Senior Director of Engineering at FaceTime. This is the first time we've ever seen a rootkit as part of a bundle application that is sent to your machine. It's a disturbing trend. The instant messaging worm and malicious code attacks are happening more than ever before, and the number of threats detected for instant messaging and peer-to-peer networks rose 3,295% in the third quarter of 2005. That's a huge leap compared with last year, according to a recent report from security provider IAMLogic said. Now, bear in mind, these are security reports reported by security companies, so we don't really know how unbiased they are. In addition to the lockx.exe rootkit file, the new worm delivers a version of the SDBot Trojan Horse, said FaceTime, which sells the products to protect to protect instant messaging traffic. SDBot opens a backdoor on the infected PC. The worm also places spyware, adware applications, including 180 Solutions, Zango, FreePod Toolbar, Max Search, Media Gateway, and Search Miracle, the company added. All that unwanted software can eat up system resources, slow down the PC, well said. Also, the malicious applications will attempt to disable security programs and change the search page on the user's web browser, FaceTime said. So once again, instant messaging is being targeted by virus people out there. Make sure you're aware of this. Make sure, you know, you use your fucking brain when you're... And usually, it's never really the WOGs. Like, if you're listening to this, chances are you're probably not too likely to become a victim of these kind of viruses. But people in your house are. You know, everybody's got the sister or the brother or the parent who doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. They get on there. They jump on your box and they start, you know, looking stuff up and they install something and bam! Next thing you know, your whole box is infected because, you know, it's all PepCat. So you got to be careful with that. You got to make sure you maintain security on your machine. And speaking of maintaining security, seems that Japan is kicking it up a notch in a big time way. In Japan news, now bear in mind, Japan really hasn't been able to do shit other than police since the Second World War. But apparently, the ruling party on Friday approved its final draft of a proposed revision of Japan's pacifist constitution that would drop a clause outlawing war and give the military a greater role in international security, officials said. Article 9 of Japan's current constitution, drafted by the U.S. occupation forces and unchanged since 1947, bars the use of military forces in settling of international disputes. So, you know, the army can't do shit. It also prohibits maintaining a military for warfare. So you can't have an army training for warfare. Though the Japanese government has interpreted that to mean the nation can have armed troops to protect itself, allowing the existence of its 240,000-strong self-defense force, which when you consider Japan, that's not really a real big number of an army. The Liberal Democratic Party final draft cuts that the no-war clause from the Article 9 and outlines an expanded role for the military. In the approved draft released by the party's website, the section currently titled Renouncing War will be renamed National Security. Interesting. The change is part of a general push by Prime Minister Junichiro Koizumi's government to give Japan's larger military to give Japan a larger military and diplomatic profile in the world. Koizumi's party has also long campaigned for replacing U.S. draft constitution with Japan's own, which is, you know, I mean, you can't really blame him for that. It's, you know, his own country. It's been a long time ago. Yada yada yada. You know, it's been like 50 years. Maybe the guys should be allowed to have, you know, their own army again. On Friday, Koizumi said he hopes the draft would draw public attention and promote debate on constitutional revision. And again, I'm really sorry that I cannot pronounce any of these foreign dignitaries' names right, but, you know, hey, that's just kind of the way it is. And I think it's part of the subtle, you know, kind of underground charm of the Newsreel show. Something that has absolutely no underground charm whatsoever is the concept I cooked up in Afternow called waste gas, which, to be honest, I didn't really cook that up. I just think I was the guy who came up with the name. But it seems that now, more than ever, we are doing sick things in order to make our cars run. Opening line of this story says it all. You have to tell yourself that the cows are going to die anyway. This is some hardcore shit. Inside the abattoir, read slaughterhouse, at Swedish Meats in Linköping, the cows stood patiently, occasionally nuzzling the lenses of our camera. From there, it was a short walk past the white-walled butchery, down the steps of the basement where the raw material for biogas had greasily down a chute. Oh my God. Still bubbling and burping and carpeting you with an acrid stench came the organ and fat and the guts, enough from one cow to get you 4 kilometers on the train. This is just a grim story. A tanker collects the organic sludge, the organs, and makes a short journey to the biogas factory, where the stinking fuel is stewed gently for a month before the methane can be drawn off. The world's first biogas-powered passenger train is taking its first passengers between the Swedish cities of Linköping and Västervik, and the biogas comes from the entrails of dead cows. Something about this story just really makes me want to gag. The boss of Svensk Biogas, Carl Lilyhook, is a proper, serious Swede. But his eyes twinkle at the biofuel revolution, as he calls it. You don't have to look far beneath the number-crunching CEOs to find the muesli-crunching environmental lover. Yes, he says, the train between Linköping and Västervik will cost 20% more to run on methane than usual diesel, but the oil prices is going up and up, and in any case, Swedes care about being able to pick our mushrooms and their fruit. What? Swedes care about being able to pick our mushrooms and their fruit. Okay. Nor is it just the trains. In Linköping, the 65-strong bus fleet is powered by biogas. Indeed, the city boasts that it was the first in the world to try its buses run on methane. The taxis, the rubbish trucks, and number of private cars also fill up at the biogas pump, housed under a dinky green corrugated iron roof. And if the methane doesn't light your fire, you can choose to have your cars run on high-grade biofuel mix. This year, Saab started selling a biopowered version of their 95 model. That's just kind of creepy. You know, it's kind of hard, you know, because on one hand, you know, you sit there and I guess maybe it's old ideals die hard. You know, you sit back and you realize that, well, you know, clearly we've got these Disney sort of concepts of us being, you know, happy-go-lucky individuals, all the rest of it. You know, we're supposed to be, you know, do the right thing, you know, be nice, all that kind of jazz. Don't murder animals and turn them into gas. You know, these are concepts that, you know, we're taught. And generally, it seems to me that, you know, you should follow those kind of rules. But nobody seems to be doing that, and everything seems to be getting very, very shitty. Now, you have countries in the world that are being left behind in the whole technological revolution, like India, like most of the third world nations, where the people now in these third world nations are the nicest fucking people in the world. They're way nicer than Canadians, way nicer than Americans. They're just fucking nice. They will give you the shirt off their back. And that's really all they have. You know, you got to bear in mind, you go to some of these countries, these people will do anything to help you out. Whereas you go to America and shit, man, you can hang a chick in a tree for 2 fucking days and people think it's a decoration. You know what I mean? It seems kind of fucked up to me that you know, the way the world is. Maybe. This is just, you know, more of an example of why, you know, the news and everything is so depressing. Because you look out at the world, you see there's so much war, so much violence, so much of a draw for cash. And everybody is, it is, at the end of the day, it is about money. Everybody's after the money. And they say, somebody said that money does not buy happiness. But I put it to you that if money does not buy happiness, you do not know where the fuck to shop. And now, with the advent of pharmaceutical industry, well, shit, money does buy happiness. So, you know, what's a wog to do? You know, what are you supposed to do here? You know, I would say that we have to look towards big picture. We got to look towards the long-term future solutions. I think slaughtering cows, I mean, we slaughter the cows anyway. I suppose they're dying anyway. You know, it's not like it's something that would go to waste. The whole concept is just seems sort of grim to me. The whole waste gas thing just is kind of fucked up, you know? But maybe that's the world we live in. Try to imagine for a moment now how fucked the world seems today to people who were born in, say, the 30s. You know, the senior citizens. How fucked is the world to the senior citizens? Now it becomes a little bit more obvious why some of the older generations, you look at them and they're really involved with things like Parcheesi and shuffleboard, because they just can't deal with reality. Reality is a scary fucking place, man. And when you spend more and more time realizing just how savage and brutal it can really be, maybe, you know, playing a little bit of Parcheesi every now and again is pretty appealing. Personally, I think there is a solution to this. I think that, again, I'm a futurist. I have faith in the future of humanity. I'm hoping that we're going to be able to get through all this. And I think the only way we're probably going to be able to pull that off is through its militaristic society. But, you know, hey, I could be wrong. Now, another piece of Cyberpunk kit has just hit the market. Some porn lenses. Well, not really porn lenses, but they could very easily be used as that. And anybody can buy this. This is an amazing piece of tech to be just available to the civilian market. I can't believe this is actually available to the civilian market, but here it goes. It's a camera lens that allows someone to see through your clothes or any and other hard surfaces has been introduced by a U.S. company. The lens could well result in being banned because of its perv potential, called the Infrared See-Through Filter, PF. The PF is a special optical device that helps to visually penetrate an object's surface in order to view what lies below. The PF makes it possible for you to see in images that are normally invisible to the human eye. It sounds like science fiction, but this new product has been developed using newly developed advanced optical technology. Kaya Special Optics has specialized in manufacturing special optical devices for the past 30 years, and their new lens is set to be a big hit with the pervs and the security companies. The 52mm infrared see-through PF4 lens has to be fitted to either a digital still or video camera. The manufacturers claim that the infrared see-through filter PF can totally penetrate all surfaces, but it can't provide a high degree of see-through. Can't totally penetrate all surfaces, but it can provide a high degree of see-through. Which, if you look at on their site, you can read, like, signs written on underneath other people's clothing and stuff. Very, very wild stuff. Take it for what it is. I guess, you know, for everyone out there who wants to be aware of technology like this, well, it's available to you. And sure enough, you know, you'll be seeing this in use in things like airports and everywhere else like this, security cameras. So maybe it'll have to be, you know, security listings. Maybe they'll just try to sweep it under the rug. No one will talk about it anymore. And hopefully, you know, no one will really discuss the privacy potential. But anybody now can go out, get a video camera, you know, slap this lens on there, drive around it, next time there's a lineup outside of the Orpheum and all the girls are in the evening gowns, and you get to see what everybody looks like beneath their clothing. Not to mention, you know, I mean, well, you know, you get the picture. Today's Daily Hack is kind of a neat one. It's every file format in the world. This is a list of file name extensions or suffixes that indicate a format or usage of a file and a brief description of that format. We really don't show the format. They really don't show the file format there itself. In fact, many formats are proprietary and we couldn't show them to you. But in some cases, we link to a definition of a file format or to related information. So if you ever get something, you want to know what the hell it is, check this site out. It'll tell you what the application is. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry, I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This would be a free radio broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of 71 donators, 56 continuing subscribers from, September, and three new subscribers and 12 one-time donations. If you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. And believe you me, every little bit helps. And thanks again to everyone and their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to pick up the album by Marilyn Manson. I got the other album here, Hollywood, which is actually a really cool album. I'm going to leave you now with a track by Simon and Milo. I think they have a band called Prozac. I'm not too sure on that. But the song is called Strange Disease. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
A little sexual frustration combined with lack of motivation and a loss of concentration. I got a strange disease. I can't concentrate on work. My libido's gone berserk. Now I'm sweating through my shirt. I got a strange disease. 2 weeks ago, you said you'd never leave me. And here I am alone. And in this world of reckless happenstance, why did good things have to go away and leave you with nothing? Yeah, you left me with nothing. Disease.
set by our television stations, and unaffected by locations. I got a strange disease, I can't seem to get to sleep. I don't want nothing to eat, walking up and down your street. I got a strange disease.
What did you ask?
Strange disease.